This morning on WCHL, Orange County commissioners are being urged to increase education funding.
We're tired of seeing our kids' education become a political chew toy. We're tired of teachers not making a living wage.
Meanwhile, state budget cuts slashed teachers' assistance funding by more than $230 million.
This is a classic example of our legislators not having a clue as to what really happens in a school.
We'll hear from one of the Moral Tuesday protesters who sat in the legislative office of Tom Tillis. Plus, the new voice of the faculty at UNC says those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw the first stone. These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill Carb Road traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, it's regional time. The UNC baseball team gets ready for double elimination play today.
Are the NBA playoffs rigged? Lots of people think so.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, 67 degrees in Chapel Hill. A cloudy day, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms later on in the day. Our high today about 88 degrees. Hundreds came out to a budget public hearing last night. There were 40 speakers telling the Orange County commissioners to increase school funding. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
The Southern Human Services Center was awash in a sea of crimson last night as more than 300 parents and teachers wearing red for education turned out to the budget public hearing asking Orange County commissioners to fully fund both school systems.
We're tired of seeing our kids' education become a political chew toy. We're tired of teachers not making a living wage. We're tired of hearing that next year is the year we do something. Next year, we'll raise revenue or cut costs. Next year, we'll fix old or overcrowded schools. There isn't next year. We are insisting, we are demanding, y'all, frankly, we're begging for you to fully fund our schools.
That's Jeff Hall, president of the Chapel Hill Carborough PTA Council. He was one of 40 speakers who addressed the board before a standing room only crowd. Outside the boardroom, the building was filled to capacity, with supporters standing shoulder to shoulder lining the hallways. Still more waited on the lawn after the fire marshal was forced to turn them away. The manager's proposed $195 million budget for next year does include more money for Orange County and Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools than last year, but the plan falls short of what each district has asked for. Orange County School Board requested an additional $2.9 million next year, while the Chapel Hill Carborough School Board requested an additional $3.9 million. Under the county's current budget proposal, Chapel Hill Carborough schools could lose 22 teaching assistants. Kim Talikoff is a fourth-grade teacher at Estes Hills Elementary. She told commissioners teaching assistants are vital to the success of her students.
I will not be able to compensate for what I am about to lose if we don't act now to fully fund TAs. So I ask you, please, provide the funding we need to make our shared objectives possible. Please put TAs in every classroom.
The recently released state Senate budget proposal also has education supporters on edge, as funding for teaching assistants would be cut in half, resulting in the loss of 57 teaching assistants in the Chapel Hill Carborough school system. Assistant Superintendent Todd LaFreeze told commissioners the Senate's plan would more than double the district's budget gap.
In the current scenario, we would need to make reductions of over $6 million to balance our budget. We felt that it was important for the commissioners to know this and know that both school districts will be under a tremendous amount of pressure. And we reiterate our request for your strong continued support and increased funding.
To increase school funding, commissioners have the option of raising the countywide property tax rate, raising the Chapel Hill Carborough special district tax rate, or dipping into the county's fund balance. The manager's plan already calls for $8.5 million worth of fund balance money to balance next year's budget. Board Chair Barry Jacobs reminded the crowd that Orange County elected officials have long supported public education, and he thanked the parents, teachers, and students in the audience for their advocacy.
Unlike the North Carolina legislature, we actually want to hear from the public.
The board will discuss the budget at a work session on Thursday, June 5th. The final budget is scheduled to be adopted June 17th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A $21.1 billion draft budget released yesterday in the Republican State Senate cut state funding for teachers' assistance by $233.2 million. The proposed allotment would provide $971.75 for each currently enrolled student in grades K through 1, but the funding would no longer be allocated based on enrollment of students in K through 3. Allocation of teacher assistant funds for those grades would be left up to local education agencies. Colbeth Middle School teacher Chuck Henry Hennessy is president of the Chapel Hill Carborough Association of Educators, and he's not happy about what he's hearing.
This is a classic example of our legislators not having a clue as to what really happens in a school and what needs to happen in order for all of our children to be able to learn.
Hennessy says that teachers' assistants are instrumental in many different aspects of a typical school day, particularly in the early grades and situations where a teacher has a lot of young students in one classroom.
Any parent who has more than one child knows that it can be difficult if you're trying to deal with more than one child at a time. If you can imagine having, with their newly uncapped levels from our General Assembly, upwards of 25 to 30 children in a class, and having your child to need special assistance, but not being able to receive it simply because of poor legislation.
Hennessy says he's also not happy about the Senate plan to give teachers big pay raises, but only if they agree to give up tenure.
The teacher salary plan is nothing but a failed attempt to get teachers to give up the right to due process, which is a basic right in the state of North Carolina for all state employees.
The proposed state Senate budget also cuts the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction by 30%. In early April, more than 30 retired UNC faculty members in a letter published in the News and Observer urged those currently employed by the university to demand answers from the administration into how academic improprieties could have taken place for so long and why the administration has been so quiet about the academic scandal. UNC's faculty chair-elect Bruce Caron says before blame is spread too far, it's important to remember just how far back the scandal reaches.
We all share culpability in this. It's difficult for, if you've been associated with the university as a faculty member for the past 20-plus years, then there are questions that can be asked that encompass all of us. And so the issue is, what should we be doing now as faculty?
Dr. Caron says he holds high value in what the former faculty members have to say, that he wants to create ways that they can provide input to better the future of Carolina. Dr. Caron says the J.C. Byrne Center director and John Stackhouse, distinguished professor of surgery, he was recently elected as chair of the faculty at UNC and will take over from Jan Boxall at the start of the new academic year, July 1st. The faculty chair position holds a three-year term. Dr. Caron uses the idiom, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw the first stone. When describing the ongoing conversation about the scandal, he says it's important that in the world of academia, the conversation remain civil.
I think the vigorous discussion and debate is totally appropriate. Do I think it's helpful to say somebody's not doing their job and that kind of thing? Probably not, because everybody's working hard and we're trying to do the best we can. But I absolutely respect people's opinion and that they're unhappy and upset about what has occurred. We all are.
These comments were made during a WCHL News special with Jim Hevner. Stay tuned. At 7:30 this morning, in just a few minutes, we'll bring you the final part of the four-part conversation. And this weekend, you can hear the entire discussion on Saturday and Sunday at 12 noon. A 78-year-old retired Unitarian minister from Chapel Hill was one of 14 people arrested for refusing to leave State House Speaker Tom Tillis's office on Tuesday. Reverend Dick Weston Jones spoke with WCHL's Danny Hooley about that experience and why he was willing to face the consequences.
I'm proud to be facing trial on July 11th. I'm proud of what we did, and I wish the rest of the people in the state would make the demands to our legislature that they've got to start acting to solve the problems that the people have instead of repressing the people.
Reverend Dick Weston Jones is a retired but still active Unitarian Universalist minister who's lived in Chapel Hill for 12 years. He and 14 other Moral Monday protesters were grouped together for a mission at Raleigh's General Assembly building on Tuesday. It was the day after Memorial Day, so protesters led by Reverend William Barber made up for not being there Monday by trying a different approach. They split into groups that would visit the offices of lawmakers before the legislative sessions began. Weston Jones's group, which included clergy and fast food workers, was assigned to the office of Republican House Speaker Tillis, who was running against Democratic Senator Kay Hagan for her U.S. Senate seat. When they discovered that Tillis wasn't in his office, they began a sit-in that involved singing and clapping. That's when they first encountered General Assembly police.
What they said originally was simply that you are disturbing the General Assembly, which in fact was not even actually meeting at the time, but they said you are disturbing them and you may not continue this, you should leave this office. And we said, no, thank you. We will stay here until we have a chance to talk with Speaker Tillis.
That never happened.
He knew exactly where we were and what was going to happen, and he avoided us. And so we decided to tell the world, to tell North Carolina that the Speaker of our House was not going to be there with us. And that proved to be true all of the rest of the evening. He never showed up.
The so-called Tillis 14, however, hung in there after one of the original 15 needed to go home to make sure she could take her son to school the next morning. The group camped in Tillis's office for nearly 10 hours until the police began arresting them at around 1:45 a.m. They were ordered to place their arms behind their backs, and police put plastic restraints on their wrists.
They put them on so tightly that they dug deeply into my wrists, both of them, and left deep red marks. I could hardly move my arms when they took us out of there and put us, in my case, in a squad car. And I was so jammed into the squad car that I could only sit sideways between the door and the seat in front of me.
Weston Jones says that apart from the tightness of the handcuffs, he felt that the police were, quote, very nice and, quote, acted appropriately. He says that most of the protesters' time in custody at Wake County Detention Center was spent sitting on stainless steel benches while waiting to be charged. They were finally charged at around 6:45 a.m., according to Weston Jones, with misdemeanor second-degree trespassing. The protesters were released on their own recognizance and ordered to appear in court on July 11th. They are also barred from the General Assembly building. Weston Jones says he finds that, quote, offensive.
It's still my General Assembly, just as it is yours and everyone else's, regardless of whether I have been arrested for appearing there and just taken into custody. But it is still my General Assembly, and I hold them accountable for their behavior.
Dick Weston Jones became a Universalist Unitarian minister in 1963. He has a long history of involvement with protests going back to the civil rights era. About 50 years ago, he and three other clergy members were arrested in Selma, Alabama for, as he remembers it, appearing, quote, mentally ill in public while they were just walking down the street in a white neighborhood. He recalls being detained with about 350 other people that night in an African-American community center as police threatened to bring in the Ku Klux Klan to deal with them. Weston Jones says that fortunately, Selma authorities didn't follow through with that threat. However, in 1965, his colleague James Reeb, another white Unitarian minister, was famously murdered in Selma by a gang of white supremacists. Since the early 1960s, Weston Jones has been involved in protests that addressed issues such as the Vietnam War and nuclear weapons tests. Along the way, he's usually managed to avoid arrests. Weston Jones says he joined the Moral Monday movement because he's angry about the General Assembly's actions over the past year, particularly those regarding public schools, Medicaid, and unemployment compensation.
I'm not in this to get arrested or to do some kind of game. I want to say, and I want others to say to the legislature, what we want them to do and how we want them to act. And I don't expect them always to agree with me, but I do expect them to hold the interests of all the people in high regard.
He and other participants in the sit-in at Tom Tillis's office will appear for a press conference at 10:30 a.m. today at the North Carolina NAACP office located at 114 West Parrish Street in Durham. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time, 7:19. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace.
Thank you very much, Ron. We have an accident being reported between 15501 and NC 86, which is Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, so between Fordham and MLK. This is on I-40 westbound. Now, the image is showing, the graphic is showing that it's right at NC 86, but the description is showing between exit 270 and exit 266. So a four-mile span there that it really could be between. But we're seeing, I can't see the camera right now. That camera at NC 86 is actually shut down at this time, so I'm not seeing where that accident might be. But be on the lookout if you're traveling in that general area, because you could see a slowdown on I-40 westbound. And again, as always, you could see a slowdown on I-40 eastbound as well, as people slow down and take a look because they're so curious. Yeah. Also, 15501 northbound and southbound between NC 54 and Garrett Road through the I-40 interchange, seeing some slowdowns this morning. Just minor to moderate delays there, nothing major in that area. I-40 eastbound right around I-540 also seeing some delays this morning, but nothing major. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior Warrior by giving us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Traffic brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh fruit, coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fill up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 67 degrees right now, mostly cloudy, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Our high today, about 78 degrees. Tonight, we're looking at partly cloudy skies, still 20% chance of rain and the low in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, much the same as today, partly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. 7:21 at WCHL. And time now to turn to WCHL Championship Sports. We'll start with Carolina baseball. We have Ron Benson standing by in just a moment. The third-seeded North Carolina baseball team, 34-25 overall, will embark on the road to Omaha when it faces second-seed Long Beach State, sporting a 32-24 record this afternoon at 1 at McKeithen Stadium down in Gainesville, Florida. WCHL's Matt Oakes previews today's game.
The Dirtbags are no strangers to the postseason stage. Long Beach State has made 20 appearances in the NCAA tournament. Not surprisingly, Carolina head coach Mike Fox expects a stern test in Game 1 Friday. The opposing defense especially stands out.
You know, obviously a good team, very, very sound fundamentally. Just look at their number of errors and their fielding percentage. They pitch exceptionally well.
Carolina and Long Beach State have never met in the postseason. In fact, the two programs have played just one game all time, a 1992 UNC win in Chapel Hill. But this time around, Coach Fox says the Tar Heels will be facing a mirror image of themselves out on the diamond.
Very similar to us, I think, in some ways, in that they just try to manufacture runs and depend on their pitching and defense to win.
Hitting the road come tournament time is unusual for the UNC program, but Coach Fox says it's not necessarily a bad thing.
We'll see. I think we can use that maybe to our advantage. We haven't been in this position. It is going to be quite different when you're hosting and you're playing at home and you're a number one seed or a national seed. I mean, there's pressure on you. You know, you're expected to win and you're playing at home, and this is different. I hope that difference will help us.
One might expect a low-scoring affair Friday. With so much on the line and the sheer importance of not dropping into the loser's bracket in the double elimination format, the loser faces a daunting uphill climb the rest of the weekend against a stacked field. Another reason to expect a pitcher's duel is the man on the mound for the Tar Heels. Trent Thornton says he's rested up and ready to throw.
Felt pretty good. Every bullpen I've had, stuff's getting sharper and sharper. After this weekend, I had my full week of rest coming in Friday, so, we're ready to go.
Overall, the Tar Heel bullpen is solid, but when push comes to shove, the Achilles heel for the team all season long has been the run support. Coach Fox knows it, but says many members in the batting order are heating up.
We've been up and down offensively because we just haven't had everybody really swinging it at the level that they're capable of consistently. And I think more than anything else, that's where we probably have been a little bit better down the stretch. Landon's swinging it better, and obviously, Michael has, and Wood, Sky's been swinging it better, and Parks got some big hits for us in the tournament, so maybe that's a good sign for us offensively.
History will certainly be on Carolina's side. The Tar Heels have won their NCAA opener in 14 straight tournaments. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Again, the Tar Heels play tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock down in Gainesville. And a little closer to home, you say the name Ron Benson, you're talking about a local coaching legend. Ron Benson, coach of the Chapel Hill High School girls soccer team. And Ron, thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Ron.
It has been a really successful season for your team so far. I know you're excited about having such a great group of people playing out there on the field for you.
Yeah, this is a special year. Normally we have a lot of good players, but this year we just fill the whole team up with that kind of player.
It is such a special part of this team. For folks who haven't seen you play this season, take just a minute, if you would, and describe the kind of action that you can see if you go to the game tomorrow. And you're playing for the state championship, of course, in Raleigh. And what can folks expect to see?
Well, I think you're going to see a high level of skill. We worked on skills all year, and the girls came in with skills already. And we have some speed up top and some really great girls in the back playing D-force. And our midfield is just a great, they control the play in the middle and deliver the ball to the ladies up top. And we're thinking that we're a threat at all times.
This happens at North Carolina's Dale Soccer Field tomorrow at 2 o'clock. The Tigers will be playing for the 3A Eastern or 3A State Championship. You won the Eastern Championship over Wilson Fike earlier in the week, and I know that you're excited about the way your team played.
We played different teams, different styles of our opponents, and each one we've been able to adjust. They were very physical and very skilled. And we played Swansboro before that, and they were quick. And so we've been able to adjust to different styles of play as the year's gone by.
Coach, good luck tomorrow. And I just want to say that I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but you've been around that program. You've been the head coach for a very long time. And we're talking decades and decades. How many years has it been?
Yeah, I've been around a long time. Started in around 1980 helping Larry Bosk out, and of course he won the state championship in 83, and pretty much been there since then.
And you have announced that you're retiring no matter what happens, and so this will be your last game coaching, I guess.
Pretty much, that's it. I might volunteer here and there, but and as far as being in charge, I won't be in charge anymore after tomorrow.
Well, I want to congratulate you on a great career. What a great way to cap it all off. And also to tell folks that this state championship game will be live on WCHL at 2 o'clock tomorrow with Paul Connell in the play-by-play. If UNC baseball loses, you can hear the game exclusively on chapelboro.com. But if the Tar Heels win today, then they'll be playing tomorrow night. That'll clear the way for us to have the game on WCHL and also streaming live at our website, chapelboro.com.
Thank you very much, Ron.
All right, Ron. Great to talk to you, and have a great day, and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks a lot.
That is Chapel Hill High School soccer coach Ron Benson. Just an outstanding career. This will be his last game tomorrow. I know he does not want to focus on him. He wants to focus on his team. So good luck to the Tigers in this state championship game coming up tomorrow. And it should be good. They will be up against the Weddington Warriors out of Matthews, North Carolina. 728 at WCHL.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Are the NBA playoffs rigged? Lots of people think so. This is Our Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Conspiracy theorists have maintained for years that retired Commissioner David Stern manipulated the NBA playoffs through the officials, and this season gives that theory even more credence. Look what's happened in the conference championship round, with Miami losing late in Game 5 at Indiana so the Heat can earn their fourth straight NBA Finals in Game 6 back in South Beach. Not only was LeBron James shackled by foul trouble and played only 24 minutes, the blatant nature of the calls against him have taken the conspiracy theories to new levels. Google is the NBA rigged and find dozens of stories that go from Wednesday night's game all the way back to draft lotteries almost 30 years ago. And the theories point to the NBA and thus the owners making more money if the big market teams are on TV more and the seven-game series go at least six. Despite Miami being the clearly superior team to the Pacers, who have been slumping for the last half of the season, the Heat shot only 8 free throws compared to 22 for Indiana. The doomsdayers claim that the refs find out beforehand how the NBA wants the games to go and act accordingly. Sure, they don't want Indiana in the finals, but they still want the series to go six games. Plus, a bailout call at the end of the game looked like it was clearly Miami's possession, but after reviewing the video for almost 5 minutes, the refs kept the ball with the Pacers. What would have happened if Chris Bosh had made the shot either to win the game or send it to overtime? The refs would have worked harder to allow Indiana to win on its last possession or in the extra period. Former official Tim Donaghy, the son of longtime ACC ref Jerry Donaghy, went to prison for betting on games he was calling, so you might think him a sleaze. But with nothing to lose and never getting back into the NBA, Donaghy is often asked if NBA games are rigged. He always answers they are, because he was in those meetings when a league official, in the very big games, tell the refs what to call and what not to call. Who would argue with a convicted felon? Nobody. But what's happening on the court lately makes even Donaghy look credible. Do the fans care? Probably not. They want what Stern wanted. Good long playoff series with the right teams for TV winning. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
When you turn 60, you still felt pretty good. At 70, you started slowing down a bit, but now you just can't argue with it anymore. So you have a choice to make. Will you spend your days drinking those shakes your daughter keeps buying, or will you get out and live? Home Instead Senior Care has been giving seniors the tools they need to really live their lives for over a decade. Sometimes you just need an extra set of hands. There's a difference between living and really living, and that difference is Home Instead. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
You gotta get an Accord at Crown Honda South Point. Consumer Magazine has named the Accord the most impressive midsize of its class, and right now you can drive one for just $199 a month. Experience a new level of luxury today. Why settle for less? You gotta get an Accord at Crown Honda South Point on South Point Auto Park Boulevard and online at southpointhonda.com. Based on the 2014 Honda Accord Sedan LX Automatic, $199 per month, 36-month lease, 12,000 miles per year, $24.99 down payment due at signing. Excludes tax, title, and dealer fees. For well-qualified lessees, see dealer for details.
Today is your last chance at a great offer at ourlocaldeal.com from Carolina Brewery Chapel Hill. It's half off, $20 of food and drinks, available now for $10. Carolina Brewery Chapel Hill, the Triangle's oldest brewery, offers local beef burgers, hand-cut fries, and fun appetizers like pork and collard spring rolls. Carolina Brewery is open every day for lunch, dinner, and late night. It's 50% off from Carolina Brewery Chapel Hill. Today's your last chance, so buy it now until midnight at ourlocaldeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, mostly cloudy today, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today, about 78 degrees.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelborough.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
67 degrees in Chapel Hill, 732 at WCHL.
And now we present a WCHL News Special, the fourth segment of a four-part interview with Bruce Cairns, the University of North Carolina's faculty chair-elect. Cairns will take over for Jan Boxall at the beginning of the new academic year on July 1st. Now, here is Jim Hefner.
Earlier in our discussion, Dr. Cairns, I talked about the forces at conflict here, and you objected to the use of my term, train wrecker war. But it seems to me I'm not able to find any of the public constituencies or the constituencies who have stepped forward in the last 9 months who seem to be getting along better today than they did 9 months ago. Now, if that's happening behind the scenes, then I'm going to encourage you or others to figure out a way to get that said in the public. But 30 retired faculty members sent what I would call a passionate letter to the university, actually critical of the current faculty for being too laissez-faire, for being too complicit in the current scandal. And Chancellor Folt's letter that she sent in response to them in effect said that they did not really understand what was going on. How do you interpret the criticism of your current faculty by the former members of the faculty?
Well, I've already met with several members of the retired faculty, and having grown up here in Chapel Hill, I know a lot of them. And have enormous respect for them and think that they would be a wonderful asset for the university as we move forward and reinvent higher education. And that's actually what they are talking about. I think that the letter is reflective of the overall feeling that we all share, that this has just been a terrible problem for the university.
Well, but they were critical. Yeah, your answers are coached. And what's coming out of this exposition of your view is that I sense that you are a peacemaker. You are trying to pull folks together.
I've been accused of that.
Well, and it's certainly not a vice, and I don't want to do anything other than applaud that. But I think that, at the end of the day, there are going to be times when you're going to have to come down on one point of view or the other. And
I'd like to do that with this, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So I've met with the retired faculty about this, and what I would say. Is that we all share culpability in this, that it's difficult for if you've been associated with the university as a faculty member for the past 20 plus years, then there are questions that can be asked that encompass all of us. And so the issue is, what should we be doing now as faculty? And I think number one, we need to make sure that we run the university. Because we have students there now, we have people we have to serve, we have to make sure that we're doing our job. Number two, we have to make sure that we have the policies, procedures, and forms in place to prevent these kinds of activities. But we now don't live under an illusion that they might not happen, and then we have to have a mechanism to identify them and address them immediately. And then third, I think we're all interested in, though this is a little bit more debatable perhaps, exactly what happened. And we have a legal process and an outside investigation process that's being evaluated. Now, reading that letter, the request was that we have departmental meetings, if you remember, that individual faculty discuss this. Well, as you know, we have had the Faculty Athletic Council has had open discussion meetings, and we've had members of the faculty engage very actively. We have members of the faculty who have been quite vigorous in the need for us to continue to evaluate what happened and why it happened. So I think that, per usual, there's a diverse voices, set of voices in the university, and they're doing the best they can to respond. But again, remember, our job is to serve the people, the students, and the people of North Carolina first. And then we'll work with the retired faculty to figure out how to make sure.
But you have not one word of admonition or criticism of the way that the faculty so far has tackled the job. That's what I'm listening for that, and I don't think – so in that sense, you don't agree with the retired faculty.
No, I wouldn't say – I wouldn't – you know, of course people disagree. We all disagree, but that's what's great about a university. I mean, that's where academic freedom but I don't think that – again, I just think the discussion needs to be civil. I think, Jim, the real point here is – that we need to make sure that we move forward. That means we need to talk about the difficult issues. We need to, you know, get our voices heard. But I'm a little reluctant to say, well, that voice is wrong or you haven't done your job yet, because it's sort of the idea of living in glass houses and throwing stones. I think that we all need to think about that when we're having these discussions. And the other is, if you have a bunch of broken glass houses, how are you going to get anything done? So it's just, I think the vigorous discussion and debate is totally appropriate. Do I think it's helpful to say somebody's not doing their job and that kind of thing? Probably not, because everybody's working hard and we're trying to do the best we can. So, but I absolutely respect people's opinion and that they're unhappy and upset about what has occurred. We all are.
All the faculty members who are listening to this right now are probably thinking as much about their own pay as they are that, and they're probably saying you ought to really be talking about faculty pay here because that's where they live. To what extent is faculty pay on your agenda a hot-button issue right now?
It's a huge issue because of retention. We have some of the best and the brightest faculty we have here, and we have to be able to – a number of states are reinvesting back into their public universities after the recession – and they're aggressively going after our outstanding faculty. Budget is the big issue, and that's true for our staff as well. We certainly are doing more with less, but and everybody is committed. This is Carolina has – there is a unique aspect to Carolina. It's interdisciplinary collaboration, the environment, the town of Chapel Hill. It's a wonderful place to be, but at some point, the financial issues can become dominant, and so we need to really – work hard. Again, though, we can't just say we need more pay. We need to be able to make the case why that investment is good for the citizens of the state.
Related to that has to do with grants, and I welcome your correcting any part of this that I might not have precisely right, because it's a little hard from the outside to gather all the nuances of all this. But if we look at the number, every year the share of UNC revenue that comes from grants growing. We touched on that in an earlier segment here. Now, our most successful faculty members that you've described have become splendid at getting grants to the point that many departments are dependent on them. Is that a fair fair place to set that up?
Well, I think it's in the biomedical sciences, School of Medicine, School of Public Health, School of Pharmacy, and so forth.
And so because these grants are written by professors – If a faculty member goes away, that relationship, my understanding is that they can take that grant money with them. Is that fair?
That's correct. And I also want to include the College of Arts and Sciences, the Physical Sciences. We have a new Applied Sciences department and Biomedical Engineering, which is one of the most interesting departments we have. We have many interesting departments, but that's a joint department with NC State. But yes, that's exactly right. The principal investigator is the one who gets the grant, and if they leave the university, they take the grant with them.
Well, that's a remarkable marker for decentralization and kind of lack of control by department heads. What you have is the power of persuasion and leadership and environment and all those things. But how big an issue is that? Do you worry about that?
Could you clarify that question?
Well, the question is that if a faculty member, if the grant goes to the faculty member and the faculty member then chooses to go somewhere else to another university, they take that money with them, and that comes out of that no longer is a part of what you have to operate that department. I really want to make sure that I have the facts right when I ask that question.
It's really a shared investment. So the university has an investment to provide facilities and core equipment. I mean, science is becoming increasingly more difficult to do as an individual. We just opened the new Marsico Hall, and that's really the idea of team science. And so that means it's a collaborative investment. And that's where the indirects that come back to the university are important as well. So it's not – yes, even though the investigator may leave, it's not so easy to do that anymore and take the grant with you, because you need to have approval of the funding source. And if you have a team-based project, which many of these become, and you're using equipment, for example, the imaging equipment that you have in Marsico Hall, and you say, well, I'm going to go leave to some other university, but they don't have that kind of equipment – there's a very good chance the funding agency will say, we're not going to let you transfer that money.
Our time is just about gone, and this may be a topic that will require a longer discussion later, but it has to do with what happens with the faculty members who are transitioning into retirement. We talk about transition, but the fact is that it doesn't really transition. On day one, you're employed, and the next day you are not. And these retired faculty members, in some cases, would like to have some degree of involvement. And of course, in virtually all their cases, they're smarter now and have more wisdom now than they've ever been before. One very distinguished faculty member told me, he said, Jim, once you retire from UNC, you become a non-person. Those were his words. Does that affect you or concern you? Is that on your agenda?
Yeah, well, I would hate for someone to feel that way. I'd certainly be happy to meet with this individual. I think the retired faculty are a wonderful asset to the community.
Do we have any programs? I think I'm really trying to think about whether we have programs.
And you're right. This is going to take a longer conversation, because I'm looking forward to meeting with them, learning more about this perception. Again, the whole higher education is transitioning now. And this is a really unique asset. We just have to figure out how to tap into that and do that together.
Dr. Bruce Cairns, thank you for taking this time to let the community get to know you better and to have your insight into these issues that are extraordinarily complicated. And I suspect that no one envies the challenge that you've taken on. But if anyone is being appropriately respectful about it, I think we should all be grateful to you for being willing to come in and, first of all, answer tough questions like this and to take on the job that will inevitably require you to do a lot of the kind of peacemaking and fence mending that I hear out of this interview that I think want to be your point of view. Is that fair?
Yes, sir. And thank you, Jim. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to be a member of the faculty and to be elected faculty chair.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the final part of a four-part interview with Bruce Cairns, director of UNC's J.C. Byrne Center, and John Stackhouse, distinguished professor of surgery. Join us for the entire conversation Saturday at noon and again at noon on Sunday on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. This has been a WCHL News Special with Jim Hebner.
This month, we are celebrating dads and grads at Great Outdoor Provision Company. We can help you find just the right gift that lets that special person know how much you appreciate them. Father's Day is right around the corner, so why not surprise Dad with a high-performance Yeti cooler or maybe a pair of Costa Del Mar sunglasses? Or outfit that hard-working graduate with a pair of Chaco sandals, allowing them to pound pavement, trails, and waves in comfort and style. Come to us. We're at Eastgate or online at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Did you know you may qualify to have your dog or cat fixed for free or at a reduced rate? You may qualify if your household is either low or moderate income, and you will qualify if you receive public assistance. Do your part to control the pet population. Also, be sure your cats and dogs are currently vaccinated against rabies and immediately call Animal Services to report all contact with wildlife. To learn more about these services, call the Orange County Animal Services at 919-942-7387, extension 224.
Imagine a life free from cigarettes. Would you have more energy, more money, more breath? Renee can.
I really have a lot more freedom now without being chained to the cigarette.
It takes practice to become tobacco free. At UNC Family Medicine, our tobacco treatment specialists coach you through the process. People like Renee who utilize our nicotine dependence program know how powerful support can be. Join the team by calling 966-0210 or visit uncfamilymedicine.org.
No lazy summer days at Durham Tech. From photography to computers, interior design to bartending, Durham Tech has a wide range of continuing education courses all summer long. Returning students, summer is a great time to meet with your advisor for fall semester. And new students, look online to schedule your mandatory Connect session. Have a question? Get it answered by phone, email, online chat at durhamtech.edu, or simply stop by and see us at our Durham or Orange County campus.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
67 degrees, 747 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. Nobody likes to pay taxes. Coming up with that money at certain times in the year can be painful, especially now. I wonder, though, why we haven't figured out that taxes are necessary. As individuals, don't we have to pay for the things we buy? If I have a heart attack, I'm really glad that trained medical people will rush me to the hospital, and there, other trained people will take care of me. Taxes. They drive their own roads that I help to build and pave. So if you don't like paying taxes, be sure never to call 911 or drive anywhere. Don't take your garbage to the curb. If somebody breaks into your house, don't call the police. Don't attend a state university. Don't flush. Don't let Medicare pay your medical bills if you're over 65 or disabled. Don't use the local water, stay away from the public library and the museum, and don't ride the bus. And, by the way, don't use money. It's printed by the U.S. government. Don't expect zoning to protect your neighborhood, and don't expect anybody to plow your road when it snows. Now you're getting it. Is there waste? Of course. Are there things you wish your taxes didn't pay for? Absolutely. But I believe in paying for the things that we need. It's way better than cutting out things like good schools, care for the mentally ill, and all of those other things I mentioned. This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
This is Stacy Chapman at the Print Shop in University Mall. We would like to congratulate all those graduates out there with some great diploma framing deals. Our beautiful UNC diploma frames are on sale now for $125. Even the student stores and downtown shops can't beat that. And don't fret if you want to pick out your own custom order or match another school's colors. We're offering 20% off all diploma and certificate framing the entire month of May. Only at The Print Shop. For over 40 years, your art, print, and framing store in University Mall.
I'm now for traffic and weather together on WCHL Traffic, brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar.
Well, it looks like the accident on I-40 westbound around NC-86 is not really a problem. Looks like it's been cleaned up and is not causing any problems in that area, so that is good news. 15501 northbound and southbound, the delays have shifted south a little bit between Ephesus Church Road all the way down to NC-86. Right around the Columbia area. If you see any delays there, be on the lookout for them and just be ready to stop quickly. You might see some minor to moderate delays. NC-54 heading eastbound as well between 15501 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing some slight delays. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. A 100% chance of Wayne Pond on the way. Otherwise, your Chapel Hill Carver weather brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point. It is 67 degrees, mostly cloudy all day, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High today about 78 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain and the low in the upper 50s. And then tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with the highs in the upper 70s. Pretty much same for the rest of the weekend as well. On Sunday, we'll also have a high temperature in the upper 70s. So kind of mild temperatures, really. 752 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond joins us now. How are you this morning, Dr. Pond?
I'm feeling pretty good, old friend. Hey, tell me the telephone is working this morning.
Yeah, you sound great. You sound great, man.
Well, I love it when you say you sound great, but I like it more when you say the phone is working.
Well, yeah, the phone is working. Does that make you feel better?
All right. Hey, buddy, I got a sweet little term here for you to close out the week, the word of the day bit. Here it is. It is an adjective we borrow from our French friends and neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
The word of the day.
Oh, you mean the ones in Carborough, Paris of the Piedmont?
Who else could we be talking about?
Oh, you're talking about the people in the real Paris.
I'm talking. Well, there's when you speak of Carborough, you speak of whatever you want to call reality. You speak of the Paris of the Piedmont, and you remember the Blue Sky Party and the Invisible University, Ron?
No.
We'll have a conversation about that sometime. Get back to Carborough.
Sounds
but,
good.
Word of the day, that's what's in front of us right now. It is an adjective. As I say, it comes to us from the French, and it is au fait. Au fait.
Au fait.
We're not talking about a sitcom that might have come from the Ray days of the 1920s. It is AU, that's the first part of our word of the day, followed by F-A-I-T. AU, followed by F-A-I-T. Au fait. Are you familiar with this, my man?
It's sort of like the French way of saying, Opa.
Well,
I don't know
what
it means.
Is that French?
No, that's Greek.
That's Greek, right. All right, well, au fait, according to the wordsmith, is, as I say, a terrific little term here. What it means is, hey, this is cool. You're well informed. You're skillful. You're doing it right. Au fait. I thought I'd throw that at you and let you know that once again, Rod Stutz has pulled off his 9 billionth week on the air, and he's doing it au fait.
Hey, Wayne, one more thing.
Yeah, man.
Au fait!
Hey, and the same to you, even though your name is Ron, okay?
All right, buddy.
Just don't call me Shirley.
I just want you to know that we're all counting on you. Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. And if you can do all that, then we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers, because that's how we roll.
97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL.
streaming live at our website, chapelboro.com. So just think about this, Lauren. There are people all over the world listening to your joke that you're about to tell.
I'm slightly intimidated.
In anywhere you know, if you have a connection to Chapel Hill, you want to know what's going on here at WCHL and in the community, you can go to our website, stream what we're doing live. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to put any pressure on you, but there are millions of people out there who have the opportunity to hear you right now.
Exactly. I'm excited. I'm just so stoked. Just that whole thing just got me so excited I could leap up out of my chair.
Well, don't do that.
And tap dance on the table.
No, don't do that until after you tell the joke.
Oh, sorry. Okay, let me tell the joke first, and then I'll do a little tap dance rendition just for you, Ron. All right.
Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight. Get down tonight. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, all right, Pete Lynchmeyer.
Okay.
Another joke. He's redeeming himself, so I guess he was on a run.
He's back.
He was on a roll. All right. Little Tommy was sitting on the toilet pot. His mother thought he was taking too long, so she went into the bathroom to check up on him. Tommy was there, sitting on the toilet seat, reading a book. But every few seconds, he would put the book down, grab the toilet seat with one hand, and hit himself on top of the head with the other hand. His mother found this very strange and asked, "Tommy, are you okay? You've been in here for quite a while." Little Tommy replied, "I'm fine, Mom. I just haven't done my potty yet." His mother said, "That's all right, sweetie. You can stay here for some more time. But why do you keep hitting yourself on the head?" Little Tommy replied, "Well, it works for ketchup."
Oh, gosh. Why did I even come to work today?
Does this mean we can officially go home now?
Yes.
I feel like that was the official end of the day, that
joke. Let's go.
Oh, goodness.
T&W in Chapel Hill is celebrating Memorial Day all month long. We realize value is of paramount importance. That's why you'll always find outstanding value that extends to the wow experience. Listen to what Gary had to say about his performance BMW experience.
Working with Ed Hagen is always a pleasure. He is very thorough and really knows the product. Dealing with Performance BMW is always a pleasure. Whether it is sales or just routine service, they always get a 10 from me.
Now that's a wow. During our Memorial Day all month long event, you can lease a 2014 BMW X1 S-Drive 28i for $319 per month. That's another wow.
Stock number B45555. 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. Based on MSRP of $33,575 and selling price of $30,800. $34.41 total due at signing. $549 admin fee and $81 registration. Tag fee included and tax excluded. Financing with approved credit through BMFS. Offer expires May 31st, 2014.
Don't miss the Memorial Day Road Trip Special found exclusively at PerformanceBMWChapelHill.com, where sales and service specials abound. Or visit us in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40. Wow.
Always on the go? Let the design team at Best Tile make your next remodeling project a breeze. Our personal designers are here to help make your vision a reality. No muss, no fuss. And with a huge selection from around the world, you're sure to find the perfect tile right here, without having to scour the triangle. With Best Tile, you don't have to put your life on hold to make your home beautiful again. Best Tile, local store, global selection, at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, or find us online at besttile.com.
Today is your last chance at a great offer at ourlocaldeal.com from Carolina Brewery Chapel Hill. It's half off, $20 of food and drinks, available now for $10. Carolina Brewery Chapel Hill, the Triangle's oldest brewery, offers local beef burgers, hand-cut fries, and fun appetizers like pork and collard spring rolls. Carolina Brewery is open every day for lunch, dinner, and late night. It's 50% off from Carolina Brewery Chapel Hill. Today's your last chance, so buy it now until midnight at ourlocaldeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. It is 68 degrees right now in Chapel Hill, 67 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler. Mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain all day. High today in the upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, still 20% chance of rain with a low around 57 or 58. And then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. Sunday's going to be pretty much the same. Partly sunny with a high in the upper 70s one more time. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves fresh brewed coffee fast. It's guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning on your way to wherever you're going at Cruisers. Good to go.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Tar Heel Baseball in the NCAA Tournament. Catch every pitch and each swing of the bat on your flagship station for Carolina, WCHL.
A deal to sell the Clippers doesn't include Donald Sterling.
He has not yet agreed to sign off.
Pressure builds for the VA secretary to resign.
The trust between the VA and our veterans, it's broken.
And how do you spell dead heat?
You're co-champions of the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Good morning.